How's everyone doing today?
I feel it's going to be a high-energy morning. I feel it from you guys. Do we have any first-timers here today? Is it your first time? Any first-timers to Ironman, Ironman Connect? Awesome. So glad you're able to be here today. Tom has my six. Well, welcome everyone. I hope everyone had a great week. Really excited for this morning and everything that God has for us today. As a brief reminder, we have immediately following Ironman Connect this morning. If you are a teaching fellow captain, a table captain, or you want to be a teaching fellow this year, join us immediately following this morning for a brief 20 to 30 minute meeting and team huddle, training, refresher, and we're really looking forward to that again. So if you are a table captain, a teaching fellow, or you want to be one this year with Ironman, hang after with us for a brief training, huddle, prayer time, and a refresher for many of you guys. We're looking forward to that. I'm going to hand the mic over to Tom Lopez, who's going to be introducing this morning's teaching fellow.
Yeah, I got to try every position till I find one that I can do. Just hold your judgment on this, please. I don't know how this happened. I know I'm a popular guy and everyone wants me at their table. So Don Stan asked me from the meat table to introduce a guy from the wisdom table. That's a long stretch. I'm more like the potatoes than the meat and potatoes. So I think it's really just a subtle way to recruit me for their table. I mean, wisdom. When you look at me, what do you think? And then I went over to the table and found out it's not wisdom, it's wheeze dumb. I said, I'm going to fit right in here. I like it a lot. So the tallest guy in the room, except for a tuna fish sandwich back there, gets to introduce the shortest man in the room. So Gus, our speaker this morning, comes to us. This is what's written, not what I make up. From Oklahoma via Florida, graduating high school, then going directly into the United States Air Force. The confusing part for me is he went and served at D.C. for 4 years. I don't know anybody who joined the Air Force and went to D.C. Is that even possible? Okay. After that, he entered University of Maryland. And here's the first landmark in his life. And really, take notice of this. 1966, he married his wife, Jackie, and now 56 years. I feel a little bit overshadowed because all of mine added up don't come close to that. That's why I don't sit with first-timers anymore. They're mean. Then he went to the University of Maryland. He got a BA. I think it's a BS in accounting and business administration. So we have another Scott Michaels in the room. That's just what we need. And then he entered the corporate world where the money was. He became a full-fledged CPA. Can't please anybody. This is good material. If you want to use it, you can. It's not copyrighted. So he worked for both national and international firms with such prestigious positions as managers, administration, and president. I know. Pretty amazing, huh? This one I don't get. He spent the last 2 years in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I don't know if that was where he sent the money, but my guess is it could have been. Yeah, we'll work on that more, Gus. But then we reach another milestone, 1978. A lot of you in this room weren't born yet. He was born again, watching a TV evangelist. I'm not sure which one. So that's a great step. Then he was moved emotionally, spiritually moved, became ordained as deacon in a Southern Baptist church. And then he continued that and got introduced to Christian jail ministry. This is after my own heart here, because I spend a lot of time in jail, well, officially and unofficially. Oh, listen to the critics. What happened to forgiveness, guys? No, he's got 10 minutes. I got the mic. So anyway, it continued, God moving in his life, the Holy Spirit that said, okay, come on, you're slacking. Get into full-time ministry. And that he went and enrolled in Liberty University, has a Master of Arts in Religion. So you can see the progression here going as God moved in his life, going deeper and further. And then he finally left the corporate world and got ordained as a minister, again, Southern Baptist Church. He answered God's calling, became a chaplain at the Howard County, Maryland Detention Center. I don't know if that was as an inmate or a visitor, but either way it counts. And then he became the lead chaplain of Christian jail ministry, responsible for the entire gamut of what goes on in that space. His last sermon as a pastoral staff was given on Christmas Day in 2011. Coming to the end here, man. And then he came here to us, introduced to Iron Man of God by Russ Van Ness in August of 2019. And it says here, you don't remember, at some point he became table captain. Boy, does that sound familiar. So I'm just really happy and honored to introduce to you an obvious Iron Man of God, Gus Nichols.
Good morning. I failed to keep this in front of me like I'm supposed to. Somebody just raise a hand, and that'll remind me to get it back up. And by the way, I kept my notes. I didn't forget them, Joe. The theme for today's lesson is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So for our first reading, it's going to be from Romans chapter 4. So would everybody please stand while we read this portion of Scripture? For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. That's us. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. I know how that feels. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in the faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but ours also. It will be counted to us, you and me, who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. You may be seated. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that we've been given great and precious promises, and that through them we have everything we need to live a godly or righteous life, and that the power from the Holy Spirit to do so comes to us through those promises as we hear them and read them, believe them, and by faith step out to walk in them. Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abraham heard God's promises, and God gave him the faith. No doubt the Holy Spirit was working on Abraham's heart to draw him ever closer to God. You know, the one big thing in preparing for this lesson that this study brought to me is the realization that many times the lives of certain biblical characters parallels our own lives. And by reading about them and studying and meditating about the lessons learned from their lives and prayerfully asking the Lord to reveal his plan and will for our lives, we can gain his guidance, instruction, and empowerment to accomplish those plans that are according to his will. Now, the single idea for this lesson today is that to really have faith, we must trust and obey. We must trust him and obey him to really have genuine faith. Now, Patrick Morley, he in this chapter sort of laid out three questions or three aspects to think about in carrying that out. And his first question was, will you believe God's precious and very great promises? Will you believe? The Apostle Peter tells us the importance of knowing and believing God's promises in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. As we believe God's promises, that creates a channel through which God instills in us his divine nature, making us more and more Christ-like, working out our sanctification. In the Old Testament, we see the call of Abram or Abraham as its impact as he responded by faith. In Genesis chapter 12, we read that, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So Abram went, took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions." In Hebrews, we see the commentary on what transpired back in Genesis. The writer to Hebrews in chapter 11 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age," I think around 90, "since she considered him faithful who had promised." They trusted and they obeyed. They believed his great and precious promises, and they received his divine power. Then the second question is, will you trust God to do what seems impossible? Remember, Jesus told the disciples, "With God, everything is possible." In Genesis 15, we read about God's covenant with Abram. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. According to Ephesians chapter 2, God's grace and faith are both a gift from God. "For by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God." The writer to Hebrews points out the working of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, he says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as inheritance. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised." The outcome of their believing and their obeying: Abraham became known as the father of our faith, for he trusted God to do what seemed impossible. In Hebrews 11, it goes on to say, "Therefore, one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." We need to take note of what Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." The story of Abraham and Sarah is an example of where we need to be aware of Bible time. You know, based on Bible time, their 25 years, which no doubt seemed like an eternity to them, was only about a half an hour in God's time. So when we want to have things done quickly, God's time frame may be a little different than ours. I'm always encouraged by the fact that back in the Old Testament, Scripture tells us that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Actually, I love that one because, you know, the verses just before that says, you know, the young people get tired. But those who wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know about the running part, but walking and not fainting is good. The third question, and this is probably the most difficult question of all, is, are you willing to give God the one thing you want to keep most? In Genesis chapter 22, we read about the sacrifice of Isaac. "After these things, God tested Abram, said to him, 'Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him there as a burnt offering.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and went to the place which God had told him. Abraham built the altar, bound Isaac his son, and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. A ram was caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham was able to use that as a sacrifice to God. And as a result of that being provided, Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And we always need to remember that ourselves. The Lord will provide in his time, not necessarily our time. For the commentary from Hebrews about this, it reads as follows: "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He," that is Abraham, "considered that God was able even to raise him," Isaac, "from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." You know, I can look back over my corporate career and the call to service and ministry, and I can see where God, in his own ways, removed things from my life that weren't bad necessarily, but was or could become a hindrance for me to answer his calling and or in serving him. I can't imagine how God's command to sacrifice his son hit Abraham emotionally and psychologically. But I will say spiritually, he hit it out of the park. He was right on. And he gave us the example that God wants us to follow in his life. He heard the word, he believed the word, he obeyed the word, and he trusted God through it all. Even when it seemed impossible, or even when it seemed irrational, he trusted God, and God blessed him. And the great news is that the message that his faith was counted to him as righteousness was given for us to hear as well. That our faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, our faith will be used by God to help us walk with him. You know, scriptures tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. So we must first have faith before we can begin to become the man God wants us to be. And I think Ryan sent out 3 questions. So that concludes the lesson.
Thank you, Guy, for leading out this month. This month has been awesome. Guy is the teaching fellow captain for the whole month, and what a way to put a bow on the month. I had no idea you were such a strong Bible teacher and have such a strong pastoral thing on your life, so thank you for sharing with us this morning and taking the time to put that together. I sent out the questions last night, guys, and we're going to spend the rest of the morning at our tables. So table captains, I'm going to hand the floor over to you guys.